Okay, welcome everyone. My name is Scott Shepherd, founder and CEO of the City's First podcast. We're very excited to delve into the world of AI and urbanism today with one of the world's leading experts on this topic and a representative across many continents related to kind of this intersection of technology, urbanism, architecture, and artificial intelligence is Laura Narvaez-Zertuche. Welcome, Laura. How are you doing?
Hi, Scott. Thank you very much for inviting me. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Excellent.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, so really happy to have you here. So I'm gonna kind of go through your bio. This is the short version, everyone. Just so you know, there's a longer version, but we'll go through the short one.
Yeah, no.
And then we have about 4 or 5 questions, but we'll try to kind of keep on our short time frame here. But we'll kind of have a nice exchange. It'll be very organic, and we'll have a nice question and answer. So we'll just kind of get started here. So Dr. Laura Narvaez Zertuche is an architect, urban designer, and spatial scientist. She is a partner in the urban design group at Foster and Partners, where she leads people movement and data analytics within the firm since 2015. Her work incorporates evidence-based and research-led design that combines informed decision-making with simulation-powered design tools and strategic development methodologies with their application to architecture and urban design. She has over 17 years of experience working in urban design and master planning internationally, primarily in Mexico, UK, the Middle East, and Asia. She is a specialist in assessing how issues such as pedestrian footfall, economic activity, and social interactions will impact the viability, growth, and long-term evolution of projects, ranging from new cities to complex buildings. Laura works pro bono as a contributor and advisor and a member of the board of directors of Urban AI, an international multidisciplinary think tank that investigates the ethical modes of governance and sustainable uses of AI in cities. Laura is also a lecturer at the Chair of Cognitive Sciences at ETH Zurich. She gained a Master's Science and PhD in Architecture in the Built Environment from the Space Syntax Laboratory at the Bartlett University College London. So welcome, Laura, again. Very impressive bio and resume. And we're going to just get started here for the sake of time. So the first question, we're going to start kind of high. This is typical format for City's First podcast and interviews. And then we're going to kind of drill into the details with each subsequent question and conversation. So starting at the high level, please tell us, the audience, about your journey from academia to practice.
Thank you for the introduction. My how could I where do I begin? So my journey started in Mexico. I'm from a city called Monterrey, Mexico. It's my hometown, and I studied architecture and a master's in urban design and sustainable development from Tec de Monterrey. And during my time in Mexico, I worked on several master planning projects that range from transport design to housing developments. And during my time in Monterrey, I began to work in an initiative that was called Total Accessibility, Accesibilidad Total. And it was a spin-out applied research and design transfer consultancy group from my university, which worked on a range of projects from end user organizations in industry and local governments. It was mostly specialized in delivering design solutions focused on inclusive urban design and master planning. And I developed back then, along with other colleagues, a sort of an inclusive design guidelines, which we called City Without Barriers, applied specifically to the city of Monterrey. And it addressed everything that had to do, to make places accessible and design for all. And this was something that architectural school never taught me, at least back in the days. And I went on to assess environments from airport to assess metro stations to buildings and so on and public spaces. So implicitly, I was assessing how well connected places were. How do you get from one place to another, specifically for people with some kind of disability? Now that gave me my first hint that I wanted to do something different as an architect. And I also love doing research. I've always loved it. So I began to look for places to do a longer piece of research, primarily a PhD, and I discovered UCL and a master's, which was back then called Architectural Studies. Now it's known as the Master's in Space Syntax, Architecture in Cities, which is part of the Barda School of Architecture in UCL. So long story short, I thought that when that master's was describing accessibility, it was somewhat related to what I had previously worked on before. So I applied, got in, and then I discovered that it was not what I was expecting at all. And I don't say this in a bad sense. Space Syntax is actually about exploring architecture and urban design through the lens of people and space. It is a way of looking at architecture and cities differently because it implied looking at design with a more analytical approach with specific set of techniques, spatial and using data analysis in order to understand the spatial configurations of buildings and urban environments and how these configurations influence human behavior, movement, and social interactions. So it was a new world to me. And it made me discover also my love for data as well. So I went on to continue that master's journey and to do a PhD, which essentially combined my research, urban design, spatial economics, and the analytical approach of spatial analysis. And right after I graduated, I started working at Foster and Partners. And since then, I think it's been almost 10 years that I've been here in the company. And of course, in between my years as a PhD student, I was working or teaching part-time. I've always been teaching since I graduated, basically. And my journey now at Foster's has taken me to where I am. I'm currently one of the partners at the Urban Design Group at the company. And I work with a great group of people, all with mixed backgrounds, expertise, as very multidisciplinary. And my main work involves, as you so rightly introduced, it involves master planning and with a lens of data-driven urban design. By this, I mean using spatial analytics, data analysis, and spatial simulations tools to assess, a challenge or a problematic within any project, to assess pedestrian footfall and or anything else in between at large scale projects. So my work entails pretty much evidence-based as much as research-led design that we try to apply into our projects, no matter the scale. So the specialism of data and spatial analysis gives me the opportunity to work at the different scales within our projects. Yeah, basically anything that has to do with the space between the buildings. So this is what we work on. And my love for academia has always been present, probably because it runs in the family too, in my family as well. I have always been teaching. And yeah, as you've mentioned before, I'm now a lecturer, a visiting lecturer at the ETH in Zurich as part of the Chair of Cognitive Sciences. Also been collaborating with the Institute for Advanced Architecture in Catalonia in Barcelona. Also great group of people to collaborate with, and more recently at the Barda School of Planning. And yeah, my latest adventure on all this in between research and academia and my love for, getting into the data world, has been working pro bono as an advisor for urban AI. And it's a wonderful initiative that also, you are part of as well. That's how we met. And yeah, it's a think tank that basically investigates what ethical modes of governance and sustainable uses of AI can bring into the built environment. And that has been over the last 2 or 3 years that I've been, you could say, championing how we use and also disseminate the knowledge regarding AI in architecture and urban planning. So I think I can summarize it in that sense.
Yeah, that's I'm more than I think most can really attest to in terms of intersection, and I say that in the most positive sense. And I didn't want to interrupt you, but as a geographer, I was fixated on the first point of your discussion here. Just even though kind of led us through your journey, London, ETH, Zurich, but I'm very fixated and fascinated with your background in Monterrey, in Nuevo León. To be honest with you, it's absolutely one of my favorite cities in Mexico. The Cerro de la Silla, the mountain range, the Sierra Madre Occidental or Oriental, and just the sheer topography and the actual climate and the environment in that region is so unique. And I think that I don't want to speak for you, but I think that lends to such a unique perspective in terms of layering in all these different interests and passions you have, because it seems to me personally, from my perspective, that's such a wonderful foundation for trying to stitch all these themes together, especially Monterrey, which is a very autocentric city. I don't want to say it's an American city, but it is North American. It is Mexico. Everyone knows it is a North American continent. So it is very autocentric. It's not European, but it has some very unique geographic and topographic characteristics that I think lend itself to be a very interesting, I would say, test bed or petri dish for a lot of the implementations and interventions that you've been focused on. So I think the fact that you are from Monterrey gives you a wonderful, let's say, foundation to kind of grow your interest. So that's what piqued my interest, amongst everything else that you shared with the audience, of course.
Thank you.
So.
That's very unique, and also that people know about Monterey, because a lot of
I
people don't
personally
know
do. I'm
about
a geographer,
Monterey.
that's why.
But yes,
Most
that's good to
Americans
know.
don't. I do, though. So, and I've been there several
Good.
times. Yes. And I think
Fantastic.
it is one of my
Fantastic.
favorite places in Mexico. So, all right. So continuing on here, I think we're probably going to have to chop off one or two questions here for the sake of time, but let's get into the next question, which is, what can AI tell us about the built environment and urban design?
Well, that is such a broad question, but I guess to begin with, I think AI is increasingly playing a pivotal role in shaping our built environment, and especially in the field of urban design, of course. Its impact really spans, I would say, in several areas. From the planning side of things, from the sustainable development and strategies side of things, to smart city initiatives, all the way to the preservation of cultural heritage. So I guess, I mean, in many ways, AI, it is making a difference. So what can I say? To begin with, I think in urban planning and design, which is what I'm most familiar with, is becoming much more data-driven. AI allows urban planners to analyze a really vast amounts of data, traffic patterns, population growth, land use, leading to more informed decisions about where to develop infrastructure, green spaces, housing, to say the least. One of the main areas, for example, where AI shines in urban planning and design is predictive modeling, is to help to forecast the future growth of cities and the potential impacts of various planning decisions. So this is not, I mean, this not only makes urban environments more efficient, but also to learn to be more resilient, and of course, more sustainable as well. And when we talk about sustainable or sustainable development, I think AI has been instrumental in trying to optimizing energy efficiency, for example, within buildings, AI systems that can monitor and adjust heating, cooling, and lighting based on real-time data, significantly reducing energy consumption, or assisting in the design of buildings by simulating different scenarios to find an optimal use of ventilation or natural light, just to put an example. And at the core of it, I think it's also been has to do with the smart city initiatives that we always tend to hear about. One of them, I think, more strongly is in traffic management, as you probably know, analyzing real-time data from various sources such as cameras, GPS devices, optimize traffic flow, reduce congestion, cut down emissions, you know, all those things. AI is enhancing the public safety by monitoring, for example, public spaces for unusual activities or predicting crime hotspots, etc. So I think all those elements from a societal point of view, as much as the functionality point of view of how people move around and how the city operates, it's quite extending a bit. And I guess the other one that I can think of in terms of its urban mobility, I think AI is revolutionary in the transportation networks by optimizing public transit routes and schedules based on demand patterns. We've seen that quite a lot in examples of apps, for instance. Even Google Maps or your city mapper has those kind of very simple examples of, you know, how do you create more efficient and reliable services, to all the way to the development of autonomous vehicles, which has been a very exciting area in the last few years, where AI is reducing accidents or improving traffic flow, and that eventually can transform city landscapes to be more pedestrian friendly, with less need for parking spaces. And I think there are many others. I mean, the crucial role in building and infrastructure management, I think that's also another one. AI has been enhancing a lot of the BIM, the building information modeling, by providing real-time data analysis, which improves, again, decision-making throughout a building's life cycle. There's also been a huge improvement in inclusivity and accessibility in urban spaces, that facilitates community engagement. You know, by providing platforms where citizens can participate in urban planning and, you know, sort of ensuring that designs reflect the needs and preferences of the community. And yeah, I mean, I think there's also impacts and other contributions in urban design or the built environment, like environmental impact assessment. That's another one. The cultural and historical preservation, I think that's also been an interesting one. You know, how do you get to analyze the structural integrity of historic buildings and recommending restoration techniques that maintain their cultural value. I think that's hugely important. And probably the last one that I can think of, last but not least, and that it has been very much at the center lately, is generative design. It's you know, creating that multiple design alternatives based on specific parameters. And that allows us, you know, designers, architects, urban planners to explore in a more innovative way solutions that may not have been evident through traditional methods. So in that sense, AI contributes to creating very healthy environments, but at the same time analyzing data on things that previously we weren't able to, like air quality or noise levels, green spaces. And leading that to designs that can promote physical and mental well-being. So it has played a role in responding, for example, to pandemics, the latest pandemic, by helping design public spaces and reduce the spread of diseases, for instance. So I think, yeah, in general, the future of that urban living is shaped, or is being shaped by AI and how that is transforming and making our cities better places to live and work and thrive in the end.
And it's definitely taking, well, thank you for that. I mean, that's probably one of the most, expansive, descriptions and use cases I've probably heard recently. And that's really, I think, quite comprehensive. I think it's not necessarily expanding all at the same rate. I don't mean to, criticize or offer a counterpoint, but more just kind of, set expectations in terms of where we see some of these developments and innovations. They're all kind of proceeding at a certain, let's say, pace and, let's say, scale. I'm certainly a proponent myself too, but I would say that it's more of kind of the manifestation. You mentioned smart cities. Myself personally, I'm really actually not a fan of the term that much. It's not meant to criticize, but I think that really, I think AI and a lot of the, let's say, implementations of these types of use cases are kind of beyond smart cities. It's really more about the human scaled sustainable city. So it's, I like to call it like the post-smart city, the post-COVID city. So we've moved beyond the hype, to be very blunt about it for the audience here. We've moved beyond the hype of 2016, 2017, where it was all smart cities, all these new innovations in urbanism and mobility. And AI was starting to be discussed at that time, but not quite obviously as omnipresent as now in 2024. But fast forward now, post-pandemic, it seems to me, in my personal opinion, this is just an opinion for the audience, and you've shared your perspective as well too, is that a lot of the deployment and implementation of these new use cases around AI are rooted in actual, let's say, problems to be solved, concrete use cases of applications that are meant to ameliorate and improve our quality of life in the built environment. Whereas 6, 7 years prior in the smart cities, let's say philosophy or hype or whatever you want to call it, those were more, in again, my opinion, solutions looking for problems. They hadn't identified the problems yet. And I think we've done a much better job in terms of moving the needle forward towards a lot of these descriptions and use cases that you provided that make a lot more sense than they did back in 2017, 2018. So I'm just very encouraged to hear of what you've shared with the audience here, how much progress we've made along this front, because it was quite doubtful at that time in terms of what direction we were headed in the mobility and urbanism, let's say, technology domain. So I think the path forward is much brighter than it was pre-pandemic. That's my only, personal take on
And
that.
just and just if I can add to that, if we have time,
Yeah.
you're quite right in the sense, you know, to say smart cities, because that's really a term that everybody uses, and
It's become a
up to
little
a point
cliche
that
now, in my opinion.
you're a bit cliche. And I think
Not to
that's
criticize, but
also no, absolutely. I mean, and I think that's you're absolutely right. And at some point,
Or as
I
my
think
daughter would
this
say,
is
cringe.
yeah, cringe. But this is exactly what at the core we're trying to do also with urban AI. Because in a way, I was just recently, you know, doing an article, and I was just simply thinking, you know, that it's really about how you use the technologies, and that technology should not dictate our behavior
Absolutely.
with the world, but
Absolutely.
it
It's the
should
other way around.
really honor,
Yes.
is the other way around. It should
Yes.
honor our, you know, social contracts. It
Yes, you work
should
backwards from the
enrich
problem you
our
want to solve.
environment. You work
Exactly.
backwards, yes. And that should help us inhabit that, you know, our built environment in a much more sustainable manner.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And I'm seeing many more examples, your descriptions, your work, your practice, your academia, and many different startup innovations, interventions, a lot of venture capital funding these new climate tech, prop tech, urban tech ventures that are really much more laser focused and prescriptive on these problem solving versus, again, 2016, 2017. So yeah, it's a much better space to be in this industry, in this domain right now. But now we'll have to get to the next question. You're probably going to have to truncate what I'm saying at the end here, but it's okay. It's been a great exchange. So let me just kind of cherry pick here. Tell us about urban AI and your latest contributions to the think tank, which I'm also a member too.
I mean, I'll try to keep it short. I'll try to keep it short. It all began a bit almost 3 years ago. And it all began with a mutual dear friend of ours and colleague, Hubert Veroch. He's a founder of Urban AI. And it really, it began with his own personal research, and then it started to establish as a think tank, basically. And the whole core of it is, you know, the think tank wants to urbanize AI, right? And that was very unique back then, because or it still is now, because the great thing about urban AI is that it doesn't try to do that all on its own right. It's backed by a growing community of international experts, and I think that's the real value of it. In experts in AI or cities all over around the world, you amongst one of them, amongst many. I think currently there are more than 150 contributors, and collectively we all engage in a variety of projects, and we all share the common thing on a focus on artificial intelligence in cities. So I think after learning about this and having an exchange with Uber, I just simply started with a simple exchange of ideas that soon evolved into collaborative efforts in educational programs, its articles, co-hosting events, and yeah, it's just in order to try to initiate, develop, and disseminate knowledge and to innovate with other collaborators and to keep the journey going. So my focus in the think tank, let's say, has been primarily on, like I said, championing or try to give my little piece of contribution when it comes to AI on architecture and urban planning, which obviously aligns to what I do in practice. And so there's a whole extensive experience amongst other colleagues around urbanism and spatial science, data analytics, evidence-based planning. And I guess that comes with a love of data analytics, which I kind of mentioned earlier. And I started to, know about what AI does, what is in implications, etc. So, and I was particularly interested in how AI can be integrated into the future of planning, but also design, and not just as an outcome of design, but also as a practitioner as well, and to leverage advanced technologies to create more efficient, more smarter. I don't want to say smarter because that's also very, very vague, but let's say more efficient solutions. So that's what essentially my interest came from. And Urban AI is based in Paris. And yeah, it's a very, I always say it's a very comprehensive body of knowledge in AI that brings together this global community of people, researchers, the public servants, startups, urban experts, etc. Very much in the intersection of cities and technology. And at the moment, we are doing types. There are many different types of industries and applications because of its community. So it tackles a whole range of areas from data governance, finance, mobility, planning, public policy, software engineering, biodiversity, economics, diversity, equity and inclusion, climate change, digital twins, and so on. And we sort of bring together all those expertise into three main streams of work. One is the knowledge hub. So that's the dissemination of knowledge through events. Either in person or online, and we produce content of that shared knowledge and information about AI through written articles, publications, blogs, or social media platform. So that allows, to spark new debates as well. The second one is education, which we want to help the new generations, younger talents to help understand what this means, also for their professional future, but again, it's really shaping the leaders of the future. So we have an emerging leaders program that aims to do that and support young scholars or professionals as well. And at the same time, we help city stakeholders, both private and public, on the better use and understanding of urban AI. And we've done this through partnerships that we're currently working with from different initiatives. Some of them are based in France and others are based in Singapore. The third one is research. It's conducting research through collaborations and how to advance the field of urban AI and through international discussions. I think the latest one publication was with Cornell Tech. On the geopolitics of smart cities. And we develop as well together with Urbit and Sara Polteca the actual, what is urban AI and the urban AI guide, which sits at the core of, what it means to actually, how do you unfold an urban AI? And then now recently we're extending that lines of work into consulting. And having that part of the think tank, let's say, or part of the company, although it's not a company yet. into consulting in four different areas. The first is helping on urban AI strategies for a broad range of urban sectors. We also want to assist in developing urban AI policies, so that's the other one. We see that climate change is also an extremely necessary subject to address. We've been doing that through organizing debates and initiatives as AI for low carbon cities. And then the other one is also capacity building, you know, which is essentially assisting organizations about the foundations of urban AI. So I think we're starting to look that the think tank is getting to grow. It looks very promising as well. We always said that we want, you know, the next step, that it has to become essentially more operational, and put all this knowledge and research into practice and really start creating real projects with, hopefully, you know, with real change. And in a way, our idea of consulting is to try to do that, to try to take that to the next level. So, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's some very promising paths ahead for urban AI. The membership is growing. Kind of the practice-based approach is definitely, I would say, the next path forward. Expansion of the membership base as well as the knowledge base or some other core areas that are really, I would say, aligned with kind of opportunities in this domain, and really trying to kind of stitch together these themes that are taking this more towards kind of action-based solutions and putting some of the research and the publications into the hands of practitioners, I think is a real, I would say, interesting opportunity for the membership, the organization Hubert, his leadership, as well as my contributions minimally, but your major contributions and leadership as well too. And something I've been also kind of advocating for, not to say that I'm a spokesperson for this, but I thought that was quite interesting, is also kind of an expansion of the footprint more globally across the global South, across all continents, so that we move a bit beyond just, let's say, Europe and North America towards
Oh yeah,
much more
absolutely,
kind of an
absolutely.
inclusive global voice.
Yeah,
You know, get
absolutely,
quite a
absolutely.
bit more from, let's say, South America, Africa, Asia. I think that I don't want to say that's a weakness, it's an opportunity. And I think that all of us as part of the organization will definitely try to, let's say, advocate for inclusivity from a geographic and cultural perspective. I think that that will really create a much more well-rounded think tank and organization. So I think that that's also kind of part of our kind of our growth model as well too. So with that, unfortunately, we did run out of time for like the last question or two. So I apologize, Laura, but we do have a
No
few more
worries.
minutes to just to kind of get your take on where we can find you in social media. If you can share with us, you know, where you're active, you know, LinkedIn, etc., and
Yeah,
then
I'm
some of the
at,
projects
you
you're
can
working
find
on.
me. Yeah, I mean, you can find me in LinkedIn. I mean, with my name. No hyphen.
No hyphen, yeah.
Yeah,
Everyone,
no
no hyphen.
hyphen. Yeah, no.
I got stumped on
Yeah.
that.
I'm in LinkedIn primarily on the social media, so
Yes.
you can easily find me there, and yeah, pretty much active in there. I don't use I was going to say Twitter,
You're not an
X
X, right?
very
No.
much often. No, to
Okay,
be
so we
honest,
can't
no.
find you
But
there.
yeah, LinkedIn, you can
Yeah.
definitely find me there. Yeah, by all
Everyone's
means,
kind of
do reach out.
consolidated on that one. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, do reach out. Do reach out. Yes, and yeah, I mean, I'm still part of an amazing company such as Foster and Partners. So,
Exactly.
yeah. So,
And we'll definitely be sharing your links with your work, Foster and Partners, as well as Urban AI and some of the recent conversations that we've covered here during today's podcast. But with that, I think we'll probably wrap it up. So with that, you know, Laura, thank you so much for your time, your
thank you.
insights. You know, I think that you really sit at this nexus, this intersection of all these really disruptive, innovative, let's say, technologies that are kind of moving our cities and our places forward. So I, this is why I personally sought to really recruit you for at being a guest on this show, on this episode, because your perspective is, I would say, so, let's say, forward-thinking in this domain, that I think that this is really something that many of us are going to be tracking in the months and years to come, in, like I say, this kind of post-COVID, post-smart cities domain, where we're trying to put a lot of these innovations into practice. And I think a lot of your academic work and practitioner work is really helping us make sense of this convoluted landscape. So I just wanted to, give you kind of appreciation for what you've contributed to the profession and industry as well.
Thank you, Scott, and thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and thank you once again for inviting me to be part of your podcast. Thank you very much, and it's a pleasure always to have a chat with you.
That's great. Thank you, Laura. So, with that, for the audience, we will make this episode, of course, available audio on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, as well as other channels. This episode will be shared throughout our kind of LinkedIn and social media network. And then basically next month, we're very happy to announce that we're going to be relaunching our quarterly webinar series, Women in Shared and Active Mobility. So we have a really great roundtable of guests that will be recorded in mid-September. So we're going to be relaunching our webinar series as well too. But again, thank you, Laura, for your
Exciting.
time. It's always a pleasure, and we look forward to kind of sharing your work and your links and to promoting this episode together in social media.
Thank you, absolutely. Thank you so much. And stay tuned, everyone. Do keep in touch.
Thank you.